أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir program, page by page, inshallah ta'ala. Today we are on page 150 of the Quran, which is the final page of Surah Al-An'am in the 8th juz of the Quran. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of this amazing surah, Surah Al-An'am, Allah azza wa jal gives to us some very comprehensive commandments and some very comprehensive pieces of advice or legislations that Allah azza wa jal gives us in this surah. And from amongst them is certain things to do with our aqidah, our belief, our theology. And some of those things were to do with certain actions that we may or may not perform, or certain things that we should or should not do. And some of those issues were with regards to our character and our integrity and the way that we should behave and uphold ourselves as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Quran, after mentioning those verses of legislation, Allah azza wa jalla mentioned the Quran and its importance and its significance in the life of the Muslim and the non-Muslim, to everyone that the Quran was sent to, that they should hold on to it and believe in it, lest that people should come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with the claim that they didn't receive revelation, or the claim that they didn't know, or that Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't give to them any guidance, no message came to them. Those are excuses, those are justifications, those are reasonings that will not be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jalla on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to each and every single one of us the Quran and has given to us the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So unless someone has a genuine reason as to why, because there will be some people that have genuine reasons as to why they weren't able to believe, such as the person who was insane, unable to comprehend, understand, or maybe the person who's deaf, dumb and blind, has no ability to or no senses that allow him to receive or her to receive the message. There are certain exceptions to the rule of people receiving the message. But for many people who have heard of Islam, have come across the Quran, have heard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the message to them has been reached in one form or another, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Either way, that is for Allah Azza wa Jal to determine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of judges. It's not something which we need to overly preoccupy ourselves with. But we come today to what will be the final passage and page of this surah, Surah Al-An'am, and we continue from verse number 158, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. هل ينظرون إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة أو يأتي ربك أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك؟ يوم يأتي بعض آيات ربك لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا قل انتظروا إنا منتظرون. Are they waiting for the very angels to come to them, or your Lord himself, or maybe some of his signs? But on the day some of your Lord's signs come, no soul will profit from faith if it had not had any before, or has not already earned some good through its faith. Say, wait if you wish, we too are waiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, again addressing the disbelievers and the people who have rejected his message, rejected the Quran, rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jalla asks them and poses this question to them: هل ينظرون? Are they waiting for a number of things to take place in order for them to be able to believe? Because we know, as we mentioned now a number of times throughout this tafsir, that the mushrikeen and the disbelievers used to demand from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a number of signs and miracles that they wanted to see in order for them to take iman, in order for them to believe, in order for them to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that because of their oppression, because of their arrogance, because of their obstinacy, now they are demanding that they won't believe until they see these signs. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Are they waiting for the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla to come and appear before them, so that they may come and take their souls, and they may come and remove them from this world, and then they will believe? They will believe on that day when death strikes them, because they will have no other option except to understand now what the reality is. But that isn't called iman anymore. When the angel comes and takes the soul from the believers, from the person's body, believer or disbeliever, that is a time when no more action will be accepted, no iman that wasn't there before will be accepted. أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ. Or are they waiting for your Lord to come, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when he comes to judge the people, and he comes to hold them to account, and he comes to decide their fate for eternity on that day. Is that what they are waiting for? أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. Or are they waiting for some of the signs of your Lord, meaning some of the signs that show that Yawm al-Qiyamah is close at hand and it is fast approaching? What are these people waiting for? What more do they need in addition to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has already given to them in the Quran, of the stories and of the commandments and of the warnings and of the reminders, all of the things that they find in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla? What more do they need in order for them to accept Islam and to believe, other than to see physically those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla is warning them of? And that is death and Yawm al-Qiyamah and the accounting before Allah Azza wa Jal and how far and paradise. But by then it is too late. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. On the day that some of the signs of your Lord come, and the signs of your Lord that are being referred to here are being referred to as the final signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that is the rising of the sun from the west. As we know from a number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because a number of hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to us that the, as is for example in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, that if once that the as the soul leaves the body, so a person on their deathbed, as their soul is leaving their body, or when the sun rises from the west, then it will not benefit anyone to take faith anew or to increase in the faith that they already may have if they are believers. On that moment, you can't do more good deeds. At that moment, you can't increase in iman if you're already a Muslim, or if you're a non-Muslim, to accept iman. At the time of death, and Allah Azza wa Jalla shows this in the Quran, in the story of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, when he's being drowned in the sea and he sees death before his eyes, then he takes, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us in the Quran, that he says, I now believe in the Lord of Bani Israel. He's now willing to take faith. But that faith won't benefit him. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in those verses, Al-an waqad asayta qabl. Do you now wish to take faith after all that you did before? Meaning now that you've seen the reality, death is upon you, and the angel of death is extracting your soul, and there is no more scope for you now. There is no time, there is no delay in this. Now you come and you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, that isn't too late. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those hadith. And so likewise Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ. On the day that some of the signs come, what are those signs, or which signs Allah Azza wa Jalla referring to? It is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is when the sun rises from the west. Because when the sun rises from the west, then people will know that destruction is upon them, that the end is upon them. Once that happens, لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. No soul will then profit from faith if it had none before. Meaning on that day, people can't start taking iman. Or at the time of death, on their deathbed, as death approaches them, they can't take iman now and say we believe. Meaning, as the soul is being extracted from them. We're not speaking about someone who's sick for a number of weeks or months or days, and then eventually they come to Islam. We're talking now in the final moments of their life, when they see that now death is at their death has come to them, and it is something which is inevitable. And so then they wish to take iman. It will be too late then. Oh, كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Or they have not already earned some good through its faith. Meaning that for those people who have believed or have iman, it's not possible for them to then come and say, actually, I'm going to do more good now. I want to give sadaqah more. I want to read Quran more. I want to make more dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I want to do more good deeds. You had a whole lifetime, for example, in the fortunate case of some, they don't pray. Their whole life they didn't give any zakah. Their whole life they didn't fast Ramadan. Their whole life they had opportunities to perform Hajj and Umrah. They didn't do so. They did very little good, and now at this time, now they want to make tawbah. And now they want to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now they want to pray. If at that moment that is what takes place in those final moments of life, it's not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the time for that is before, right? And the time for that is when you have the opportunity to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, the opportunity to remember and to be reminded. And that is why even for the believer, this verse is a very powerful verse. This verse is something which shows us that we should never be neglectful of what our ultimate end is. How often do we go to a masjid or hear of someone, or go to a masjid and there's a janazah prayer that's being offered? How often do you hear of someone that you know, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, some type of acquaintance of yours that has passed away? Elderly and young, people who are relatively fit and healthy, and people who are not so much, rich and poor, male and female, whatever it may be. People are dying all around us, and they die on a daily basis. And sometimes those deaths are removed from us. They take place in a different part of the world due to some calamity or some type of man-made issue. Or they happen around us because of the people around us that also pass away. Those are all reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more are you waiting for? Are you waiting for it to come to you and happen to you? And then you're going to believe? And you don't even, and me and you don't even have the guarantee that when death comes to us, it's going to be on a deathbed. They're going to be ill for a number of months beforehand. Then we're going to have the opportunity to make tawbah or to do good deeds. Or that we will have that opportunity to even realize that death may come to us suddenly. We may die the next day without even knowing what's going to happen. Without being diagnosed with any type of illness. Without being given any type of warning. Many people die in that way. So sometimes we also, shaitan comes and he also makes us think that we'll live to a ripe old age. And we'll see our days, and we'll see the decline in our health, and we'll see that we're becoming sick or ill and weak, and therefore we'll start to do more good deeds. As our health decreases, our good deeds will increase. That's not always the equation that you're given. Some people are given that, but not everyone. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here that you don't have the, just as the mushrikeen, they don't have that guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ. So say to them, wait if you wish, we too are waiting. Meaning if that's what you're waiting for, then do so. Because we already know what the end is for those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in the next verse 159, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. As for those who have divided their religion and broken up into factions, have nothing to do with them. Their case rests with Allah Azza wa Jal. In time He will tell them about their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those people who split up and caused factions and divisions in their religion because they didn't follow the scriptures that their prophets gave to them, and they didn't follow the way of their prophets in their pristine and original way, and they didn't follow then the message that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either, and so they have divided into denominations and sects and factions and groups, oh you Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have nothing to do with them. لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. You have no part in this, you have nothing to do with them. And that is why in our religion, in Islam also, the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam that our ummah would also split up. It would also divide into many groups and factions, into many labels and names. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by the companions or messenger of Allah, so which one of them should we stick to? He said, that which you find me and my companions upon this day. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمَ أَصْحَابِي. What I am upon, what my companions upon, because that is the deen. That is Islam, that is the religion. What the Prophet ﷺ understood of Islam, what he preached of Islam, what he practiced of Islam, and what those companions who lived with him, and sat with him, and walked with him, and studied with him, and resided with him, and fought alongside him, what they understood of the religion, how they understood what the Prophet ﷺ said, because they were there, live in person, they understood, and their understanding and the understanding of anyone that's there on at the time and the occasion, live, living it, experiencing it, will be better than someone who comes 300, 400, 500, 700 years later. And so the understanding of the companions and the way that they understood the religion, that is something which is extremely important for us as Muslims to hold on. And it is unfortunate today that we see many Muslims, their understanding of Islam isn't necessarily the understanding of the companions. And in some of those issues, there is some leeway. There's some differences of opinion. Even the companions differed over some issues, but they didn't differ on the foundations of Islam. They didn't differ on issues of Iman and Aqeedah. They didn't differ concerning the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the status of the companions, for example, and other things. There are certain essentials in our religion that the Ummah agreed upon. To take those essentials and to remove them, or to manipulate them, or to distort them, or to ignore them outright, and to follow something else, that is problematic in terms of a person's iman. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Their affair will be with Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will tell them in time as to that which they did. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will resurrect everyone. And that is why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mentioned in a number of hadith, such as the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, I will be brought my people, meaning some of my people from my ummah, and then they will be driven away from me. So I will call out and I will say, Ashabi, Ashabi, these people are my people. They're my ummah. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ will recognize them as Muslims, as people from his ummah. And then the Prophet ﷺ will be told, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what they did in terms of innovation to your religion after you. And that shows then that even amongst the Muslims, there are people that will be driven away from the Prophet ﷺ, separated from him, as a result of their division into factions. And what is the basis of that division? Because they strayed from the message of Islam, from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And so you as Muslims, that's our duty, our responsibility, to ensure that when we follow Islam, it is Islam that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, that the Prophet ﷺ gave to us in his Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 160 concerning those people who do good and those who do evil, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Whoever has done a good deed will have it 10 times to his credit, but whoever has done a bad deed will be repaid only with its equivalent. They will not be wronged. This is from the amazing mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the beautiful hadith, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has determined the reward of good deeds and the punishment of evil deeds. If a person has the sincere conviction and intention to do something good, and then they're unable to do it for whatever reason, Allah still records it as one good deed. Meaning you intended to do a good deed, but then for a valid reason you were able to. You felt sick, something happened to you, an unavoidable circumstance, and it prevented you from doing that good deed. Allah sees your intention and its sincerity, gives you a good deed. And if you're able to do it, you perform the action, Allah multiplies it by 10, up to 700, up to many more. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the minimum amount in this verse, that it will be given 10 times in terms of its credit or in terms of its multiplication of reward. And if someone does an evil deed, meaning they have the intention to do an evil deed, and then they don't do it, they turn away from it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't hold them to account for anything. And if they do it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla only records it as a single evil deed. And that is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here. And whoever has done a bad deed will be repaid only with its equivalent. Meaning one evil deed equals one evil sin. One evil deed or two evil deeds equal two evil sin, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to good deeds, Allah multiplies. When it comes to good deeds, Allah Azza wa Jalla increases and gives you far more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 161, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قِيَمًا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, my Lord has guided me to a straight path, an upright religion, the faith of Ibrahim, a man of pure faith. He was not a polytheist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he says and commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, meaning, oh Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is my religion. What my Lord has guided me to is a straight path. Meaning what I am upon is a path that will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his pleasure and to his reward. And it is an upright religion. A religion that isn't full of contradictions or weaknesses or oppression or wrongdoing. It is a religion that only speaks to good, calls to that which is good, upholds that which is good and beneficial for the individual and for all of society. And so the person who accepts Islam and believes in Islam and practices Islam is someone who will uplift themselves and uplift their family and the people around them who also believe. Deenan qayyima or deenan qiyama, millata Ibrahim hanifa. And this was the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, who was upon the way of tawheed. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is your religion and the religion of your followers. It is a religion which is straight and isn't crooked. It is a religion which is upright and not corrupt. And it is the religion of all of the prophets, including the greatest of them, or from the greatest of them, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he wasn't a person of shirk, just in case people misunderstand this verse, because many religions, as we know, claim Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His religion, which was upright and straight, wasn't the religion of shirk, but it was the religion of tawheed. And that is why in the next verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to make a further declaration. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. In verse 162, say my prayers and sacrifice my life and death are all for Allah, Lord of the worlds. This is an amazing verse. It speaks about some of the greatest acts of worship that you can perform and how the Muslim is the one who, as we mentioned concerning the previous verse, the region of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they dedicate all of this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They submit to Allah Azza wa Jal, and all of their worship, in terms of their physical acts of worship such as the prayer, and in terms of their financial acts of worship such as giving money for the sort and sacrifice, and all of the other acts of worship that they perform, it is only solely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only that, but their whole life and death, meaning that everything about their existence revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is halal, what is haram, what is pleasing to Allah, what is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, how can I gain more reward, how do I stay away from Allah's wrath and punishment. That is their whole life and the way that it revolves. And so the Muslim is the one who dedicates themselves, submits themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal, sacrifices their own desires and whims for that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the true Muslim. That is the one who is truly a believer, because they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal alone and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that is the meaning of Islam. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal then says in the next verse, 163, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He has no partner. This is what I am commanded, and I am the first to devote myself to him. I am the first of the Muslims. Because the word Islam means, as we know, to be the one who submits to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded here to call himself to be the first of those people. And he was the greatest of examples in that regard. But me and you, by extension as Muslims, we also have to follow in his footsteps in that way. As a Muslim, it means that you submit to Allah. Sometimes we say that the word Islam means peace. And yes, that is one of the meanings of Islam. Because if you're a Muslim, then Allah Azza wa Jal gives to you peace. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives to you tranquility through your iman and through your good deeds. But the word Islam also has another meaning, which is the first of those meanings before you get that step of peace and that tranquility, inner peace. Allah Azza wa Jal commands you to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must submit in order to find the peace. Because if you don't submit, then you don't get the salam, which is the peace either. And so Allah Azza wa Jal commands you to submit. Al-istislamu lillah. You submit to Allah, you sacrifice for Allah, and you dedicate your life to Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet of Allah did, alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jal then tells us in the penultimate verse of this surah, verse 164, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبَغِي رَبًّا وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. Say, should I seek a Lord other than Allah when He is the Lord of all things? Each soul is responsible for its own actions. No soul will bear the burden of another. You will all return to your Lord in the end, and He will tell you the truth about your differences. An amazing verse. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, see again to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should I seek a Lord other than Allah when Allah is the Lord of everything? Meaning this path that we've been speaking about in the previous verses, dedicating yourself to Allah, submitting to Allah, worshipping Allah alone, that straight path, that upright religion, the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why would I seek other than that? Why would I seek a Lord other than Allah to worship and submit myself to when Allah controls and owns everything? Because anything else that I will worship will be false. And anything else that I worship will be weak. Anything else that I worship will be dependent upon Allah, just as me and you are dependent upon Allah Azza wa Jal. So why would I seek a Lord other than the Lord of the worlds, Allah Azza wa Jal? But rather, every soul shall bear responsibility for its own actions, and no soul will bear the burden of another. Every one of us is responsible, whether of good or bad, for ourselves. Allah will reward you for what you did, and Allah will punish you for what you did. You are ultimately responsible for yourself. And Allah does not bear the burden of one soul for another. Meaning that you're not responsible for the actions of others. You call them, you invite them, but ultimately they're responsible for what they did. And if you had a role in what they did, then obviously that's part of your responsibility because you had a direct influence upon them. But otherwise, you won't be asked about what your father did, or your grandfather, or your neighbor, or your friend, or the average Muslim or non-Muslim on the street. That's something which Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't burden upon you. We don't have this concept as they do in some religions, that Adam alayhi salam, because of the sin that he committed when he ate from the forbidden tree, that therefore all of mankind was tainted by sin. That's not our concept in the religion. And likewise, because also when you repent, then Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives that person. So why then would Allah Azza wa Jalla repent the one, repent and accept the repentance of the one and forgive the one who did the original sin, but yet hold others to account who didn't do anything, weren't even born, didn't live for like hundreds of thousands of years until hundreds of thousands of years later or thousands of years later? And that is not from the justice and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, rather each one of you will return to your Lord, فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ, and he will tell you the truth about your differences. In the final verse of this surah 165, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ سَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. It is he who made you successors of the earth and raises some of you above others in rank to test you through that which he gives you. Your Lord is swift in punishment, yet he is most forgiving and most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he has made you successors upon the earth, meaning one generation after another. We will die and our children will come after us. And they will die and their children will come after them. That is the nature of humans upon this earth. No one lives for eternity. And no one lives for an inordinate amount of time, but rather each person has their time scale that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them, and then they pass away. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to people different levels and ranks in the dunya, some higher and some lower, some richer and some poorer, some more powerful and some less powerful. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِيمَا أَتَاكُمْ, for each one of you it is a test. Just as the poor person has to be tested through their poverty and they have to display patience, then likewise the rich one is also tested with their wealth and to see how they behave. The one who's weak is tested because they're oppressed and how they will respond. But the powerful one and their oppression is also tested. Each one of you is tested irrespective of your circumstances. فِيمَا أَتَاكُمْ, Allah says, because Allah tests you through that which he has given you, whatever it may be. And that is not just restricted to the wealthy and the powerful, but every person, what you're given or the lack of what you're given, it is a test for you. And therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla is swift in punishment for those who do evil and wrong, and he is of forgiving, most merciful for those who do good and turn to his path. And with that we come to the end of this amazing surah, Surah Al-An'am, and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that he allows us to benefit from its many lessons and its many reminders. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.